Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to another Saturday morning and mother and daughter roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, and today we're going to have Cynthia Oliver doing our lead this morning, and we're going to have Deborah Tyler following in, helping her this morning as we always do, and I'm going to jump in wherever I can when I can. So I'm going to work the switchboard. I have a young man with me this morning, my great-grandson, and so it's going to make it impossible, audience. You can listen to me or listen to him and me and him and get the message or might mess up the message. So I decided this morning that I was going to take a break and sit back and relax and be taught by two wonderful young ladies, Cynthia Oliver, who is the dean of our college, Mother and Daughter Bible College, and Deborah Tyler, who is one of our team members that is definitely a key element to what we do when we are helping women to create their best life. So let me go to the switchboard. And say good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. I'll bring Deborah on so you all will be live, both of you.
Okay.
Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. It's nothing but the Holy Spirit to give me this moment. Lord, thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you about it later. 17-month-old that I prayed, Lord, please give me a moment to get the introduction done, and I feel like my moment is winding up. So y'all go ahead, and I'm going to have my phone on mute, and I'll be listening in, hopefully to give you a comment at the end. I know it's going to be a great show. But you're two great women, and you're very smart and got a lot to share. So let the Holy Spirit do his thing, and whoever want to do the prayer, y'all can go ahead and do that.
Okay. Deborah, I'm going to ask you to take the lead this morning on the prayer, if you would, please.
Okay. Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, audience. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to say thank you for waking us up, starting us on our way. We say thank you because without life, we can do nothing. But we thank you for the breath that you blew on us this morning. We thank you that you allowed us this opportunity to come before your people to give them a word from you, Lord. We thank you for using us, and we will be forever mindful to give you praise and glory for all that is done. We thank you, Lord. Help us right now as you promise so we may live, Lord, because our hope and our trust is in you. We ask that you will give us what we need, Lord, in the time that we need it. We ask that you would touch the hearts of the audience, that you would open their heart right now, that you would saturate them with the word today, that they will be receptive to the word today, that your word will go out and not return back to you void. It will accomplish that thing which you said it will accomplish. We thank you for doing all that you do right now, Lord, moving us, and we're willing to be used by you. We thank you right now, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Father God. And we thank you, Dr. Fletcher, for trusting us with such a task, because it's a task, it's your baby, and I understand that we are always concerned about our baby. And speaking of babies, our last topic when we were live on radio was October 26th, Mothers and Daughters Not Looking Back. But today we are going to look back, because we're going to look back on the subject matter of what happens in the absence of a mother for whatever reason. What happens is we all have stories. That's what really happens. And the Holy Spirit is so amazing. Last night when I went to bed, My husband had on the television, and he was watching Lost Family. And the episode was so amazing to prepare me for this discussion, because we had two different episodes with two different sister stories, and so two different daughter stories, if you will. In both scenarios, we had an older sister and a younger sister. Two was estranged, and then two had grown up together, but in the absence of their mother. And so they, both sets of sisters, grew up without their mothers in their lives, but two grew up together and two were separated because they ended up in foster care. And so we had these two big sisters who suggested that it was really no big deal if they found their mother or didn't find their mother. And the younger sisters, they were so intimate about finding their mother, because that was the missing piece for their lives. And then I had watched an episode of a crime scene earlier this week when there was a little girl. She must have been about 10 or 11, and they reenacted this thing where this little girl, in the absence of her mother, the mother lived with them, but mother was absent from an emotional and mental standpoint. And her mother was hooked on drugs. And so I'm just setting this thing up, guys, so bear with me. The mother was hooked on drugs, and so she left out with her boo, if you will, and told the little 10 or 11-year-old, take care of your little sister. And unfortunately, it went from bad to worse for those two little girls. What I understood was that the mother was involved in a drug thing where they had sold this couple bad drugs, and the couple came back looking for them, and unfortunately the babies was there by themselves, and they stabbed these babies repeatedly. And the little 10 or 11 year old, she was so protective of the baby that she got the blood of it, but she lived and the baby died. And they had this little girl in the hospital, and you can tell that she had been parentified. That word parentified is mean that she was responsible for taking care of that baby, because reenactment played was the fact that she kept asking about Isabella. That was her name. And unfortunately, the doctor didn't tell her that the baby didn't make it. The officers, when they were questioning her about what happened, they let the cat out of the bag, if you will. And this little girl was so distraught over the fact that her baby sister died that she just had a sigh. And you can just tell that she was responsible for this baby. And so when a daughter grows up in the absence of a mother and there are siblings around, that older sibling takes on the part of taking care of that other sister, and so therefore the daughter. And so when we grow up in the absence of our parents, we have a lot of our mothers, we have a lot of commonalities, even though our stories are very different. I saw some of the very same commonalities last night in both sets of sisters. And so for God to set this thing up for me to be able to have this discussion this morning, it became very real for me, and I started looking back. Even though we were told in October 26th, mothers and daughters don't look back, oftentimes we do look back because something happened in our lives that triggers the memories of not having our mothers in our lives. And so the question is this morning, what happens to mothers and daughters? What happened to daughters in the absence of a mother? And I think about one of my favorite psychologists. He had a theory called, the theory was attachment theory. His name is John Bowlby. And what he said, in the absence of a mother, which is supposed to be our very first caretaker, early attachment forms our internal template or mental representation, if you will, of how relationships work in the world. And so for me, the commonalities are there with regards to you have two things, and you might want to write this down. The two things that's very, very prevalent is ambivalence. That word is a love-hate relationship or in relationships, and avoidance. Oftentimes we become avoiders because the very thing that we desire is not available to us, so we start to avoid our own needs in the absence of a mother. And so when I think about the story and the stories that I've heard in this past week, it didn't perturb me because I grew up without my mother in my life. I didn't meet my mother until I was 13. I didn't have a relationship with her until I was 48, and she died when I was 50. But I want to suggest, in the absence of my mother, I grew very cold. I was a cold mother the first 9 years of my children's lives. And I didn't know why I was that way. And it wasn't until I embarked on trying to gain the understanding of why I was that way. And that's probably why I became a psychology major, because I was constantly trying to figure out why my relationships were so faulty and why I didn't have a desire to be in a real relationship. I was jeopardizing most of the relationships that I got in, and I didn't have a desire to have relationship with women. I literally didn't want to work with women. I didn't want to have what's called friends with women because I simply couldn't trust the relationship of having a woman in my life. And so I grew up not wanting to be in relationships really with women. And so that's one of the commonalities also. You either run real, real far away, or you become clinging to women in a sense. And so my way of dealing with it, I was a border. I didn't want that type of relationship because I simply couldn't trust it. So there are so many things that happen in our lives that our mothers are not in our lives, some good, some bad, but it is what it is. And so what happens when a daughter grows up without her mother's love and support? The two things that we're going to talk about today is, one, the lack of confidence in oneself, and two, being overly sensitive. So when I think about those two inserts or entities in our lives, and we all can lack confidence as daughters, and we all can be very sensitive as a result of the way we grew up without our mothers, that it becomes an issue for us as daughters. Why these wounds are common goes back to that attachment theory. We oftentimes build who we become out of our relationships with our mothers. So there's a sense of self that's missing when we grow up in the absence of our mothers. And so how do we heal this or fix this? We all have been wounded, those who grow up without their mothers. That's one. That's another commonality that we have. And it's not until we start to seek healing or seek the issue, if you will, because I was constantly being told by a professor of mine that I was angry. And I promise you guys, I never thought I was angry. That's that ambivalence that I was talking about at the beginning of the show. I never saw myself as angry because I told myself from the very time I was old enough to remember, I remember I was about 13 years old. I kept trying to convince myself that I didn't need my mother. And I kept saying that I'm okay, that I didn't need her, and I was going to prove to myself and I was going to prove to them that I didn't need her. And so I became an overachiever out of the fact that I was attempting to prove to myself that I didn't need my mother. So that's another thing we have in common, too, when we grow up without our mothers. We become overachievers because we are trying to prove to ourselves that we're worthy. That's our way of proving to ourselves that we're worthy. But you guess what? None of it means anything in the absence of your mother. I got degree after degree, and it meant absolutely nothing to me until my master's degree. My mother showed up to my graduation. That's when achieving a thing meant something to me. That's when I was able to put meaning to it, because her being there said that she was proud of me. I still have the stuffed animal that she gave me at that graduation. So, back to the topic at hand, our commonalities. We're going to first talk about, you know what, I'm going to bring Deborah in here to talk about her topic. Let her go first on being overly sensitive, because I think it's going to make more sense about the lack of confidence after we have her spiel. And so, Deborah, we talked last night very briefly about your topic about being overly sensitive in the absence of your mother. You want to talk about how overly sensitive you became, but tell the story that how you became overly sensitive before you go into the topic matter, if you don't mind.
Okay. Good morning, audience. I was realizing something as you were speaking, and I'm going to come back to it. I had to make a note of it, but I'm going to talk about the overly sensitive. You know, I believe that when I decided at 13 to run away from home, I said in my immature mind, I didn't need my mom or my family. I didn't need nobody. Didn't know what I was running to and didn't realize what I was running away from. And so, over the years, I began to live a life of independence. So I thought, being young and shoplifting and supporting my own, you know, way and you know, grew up like that until I went to prison. And it started to register with me. Okay, now they know I'm in prison, and they should be coming to see me. Expectations. They should be coming to see me because they local. They down in Broward County. I'm in Broward County, and so. As the years went by and the visits was few and the letters was probably even fewer, I began to feel like I felt when I was 13, like, okay, I can make it without them. I can make it without my mom. She ain't got to come see me. You know, and I carried that for a long time. And I began to realize that I really didn't know who I was. I didn't know who my family was, because there was a long gap from 13 to, by then I'm probably in my early 20s, you know, starting to miss what I never had. And so I began to feel some type of feeling about, now I feel neglected, you know. So as time went on, and I came home and I lived with my mom after 20, I was 30-something, after 20-something years of being gone, and I lived with my mom, and we was in the same house, and I felt like, you know, there's times I would go over to a room and just sit on the bed, not knowing what to say, because we hadn't been in the same room in over 20 years alone. And I was thinking, and then I would go back in my room feeling some type of way, feel like, you know, well, you know, she's sleepy, she don't want to talk, or she tired, or, you know, whatever. And I would go back in the room feeling like, you know, just feeling, I don't even know the way the that I felt, but that's how it started out. And as years went on, there's times that I would reach out and she would, you know, she would embrace me. And there's times that I would notice that it'd be like, even, okay, let me talk about it now, because this is where I'm at right now. Up until last night, I hadn't heard from my mom maybe 7 days. And I was, you know, texting, and, you know, we went on the trip last weekend and the weekend before I was in Orlando and the weekend before I had a guest come in. And so I was saying to myself, you know, okay, she don't want to do the show. Okay, I get it. She didn't tell me that, but I found out, you know, from Dr. Bessie. So, you know, I'm feeling some type of way. So now I'm texting you every night because you just told me a month ago that it's unacceptable for me not to text you three nights in a row. I love you because I've been doing it for years. Okay, so then you text me that. And so now I'm saying back to you, it's unacceptable, Mom. It's been three nights and I haven't heard anything from you. I call you, not answering, you're busy. And so I start feeling like some type of way in my feelings, being sensitive. Oh, she don't care about me, you know, she don't love me like she loved the other one. And all that stuff played on me all the way till last night. And finally, I call her and I text her. I say, are you there? And she responded, yes, I am. I'm in bed and got an early morning and good night. And I said, I love you too. Okay, but I was taking it to heart because it's like, I don't know you well enough to even know, you know, are you working full time? Are you working 4 days a week? Because we're not having this communication. So I'm taking it, I'm being sensitive about it, thinking like the topic was saying, it says that I make more out of it. I was making more out of it. And I started with that, I don't need you. I can live without you.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me back. And, you know, and I do need a, you know.
I'm sorry, I'm a little emotional, but I do need it.
It's okay. And I, you know, I'm being the best daughter that I ever been in my whole life. Not even about, it's about my life and what I'm doing with my life. That's the best daughter I could be, you know, and I know that God has blessed me to be who I am. And so I'm being the best, and it's not even about me being the best, is about just, you know, that relationship. And so sometimes I don't call because I'm distant. And when you was talking about, you know, I was distant at a young age, and when I went to prison, there was distance with us. The business was few, you know, and the letters was few, you know, and I was longing for it, you know. And so I will always go back to, oh, I've been on my own since I'm 13. I can live without you. And I know that's the enemy come to divide and to bring division. And I have to pray it off me. And so there's times that, you know, I said, I don't want to talk. There's nothing, I ain't got nothing to say right now, but it's not that I don't love her. It's just I don't feel the talk. And so there's times that I called and, you know, like lately, like I say, she ain't been answering. And I know she's probably avoiding me. So I feel that she's avoiding the conversation that I'm not going to bring up about, you know, oh, the shoot was good. We had a good time. I'm not going to even talk about it because obviously she's still sore about it. She's still hurting about it. There's still a tender spot, you know. There's still some stuff going on that ain't been processed. And I respect that with her. I respect that the pain was so great that, yeah, you forgave me, and it's been 30 years later, maybe 40 years later now. Yeah, 40 years later now, and I know that it just don't go away like a dream. You wake up and you forget maybe what you dream, you know, but I'm just saying I know that she loves me, but sometimes I be overly sensitive. I make more out of it. Like, you know, she says, I got to go to bed because I got to get up early, so she's working. But for me, not responding to me makes me feel like maybe you're upset with me, or maybe that you don't want to have a conversation with me.
Right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I just feel that, you know, at times, you know, I don't put in what I need to put in, but I know that we all got things going on in our lives that sometimes we're real busy, but that, you know, I know when you, that's too busy. Like, you know, we haven't talked, you know, since, you know, the beginning of, or the end of last month. So I be feeling some type of way. I be reminiscing about the past, and I go to thinking, and then the enemy comes, and I have to pray it off me because I want to have that relationship with her. I want to be what God called me to be, you know, and I am sensitive, and sometimes, you know, I make more out of it, you know, and I'm trying to learn how to process that because it's still all new to me, because this is, in the last 10 years, has been the best 10 years of my life. So it's really like I just got out of prison, because now I'm really living, and ain't no drugs, ain't nothing going on. It's just me and God in my life, and you know, I'm on the right track now. And so I yearn for that relationship, but at the same time, I still got my thing about, you know, I'm not going to push, I'm not going to force, because all my life up until, you know, I came home, it was just about me, and I didn't have to work that hard because I had been away and it was distant. And so now I'm rambling a little bit, but I'm just a little emotional, but I'm feeling better talking about it. And I love
okay,
my mom,
good.
And I know that, you know, she got some stuff she's still dealing with, and that's fine because so do I. And yes,
absolutely.
I'm very sensitive, and I'm trying to learn how to not be so sensitive and not take it personal when I don't get her on the other end of the phone, because it's probably for whatever reason, but in my mind, you don't want to talk to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't want to talk to me in my mind. And so today I'm just trying to learn how to not be so sensitive, overly sensitive, and realize that some of this stuff ain't even about me. And do the best.
There you
I
go.
Can.
That's the point right there, Ms. Deborah. Allow me to jump in here, because that's really the point. It's really not about you when she's not picking up that call, or and it could be about a discussion, but it's never about you. And so I picked up two things and I wrote it down. Two other commonalities that we have, daughters, when our mother is absent for whatever reason. It was interesting that we were both 13 when we made these decisions. That's a commonality. And then, because that's when you really start to come into self and you start to believe that you are independent. And then the other lie that we tell ourselves is you can't miss what you've never had. That was the biggest lie that I kept going my entire, from the time I can remember starting this little chant of I don't need them. That was at the forefront. You can't miss what you never had. But you can, because you had it. Your mother carried you for 9 months. You had it. So you can't miss what you didn't have, because your mother carried you for 9 months, and it is in those 9 months that you formed that bond with her. So you had a bond with her before you even got here. And so when we become estranged from that mother after 9 months carrying them, I was taken or sent or whatever, however it went. Every time I think about how this thing went down with me and my mother, and me ended up not being, and my sisters not ended up being in my mother's life, it starts, like you said, everything gets scared. And I was told one story, then I was told another story, then I was told a story by my mother. There are so many pieces that are common, but then there are so many pieces that are different about the story, so you really don't know what to come to believe. And even now, even my mother's been deceased since I was 50. I'm 58 now. I still get different people talking about it when I come around my family, and then they're trying to tell me one thing about my mother when there's something totally different based on her story. And so when we are sensitive over the fact that our mothers are not there, and then when our mothers are still living and we don't get to talk to them after we form this relationship, we come back to our mothers and we have a relationship, maybe not be the relationship that we want. When we don't talk to them, as you said, you feel some kind of weight. But when we are oversensitive, that thing is real. And the point is that we start, and how we're going to heal from this thing is that when we start to understand that it's not about us. It's really not about us. People have their own stuff that they're dealing with. And so when we can rise above our emotions, then that helps us not allow the enemy to come in. Do that make sense, Ms. Deborah?
Yes, absolutely.
It's not easy not to allow him to infiltrate, because that's how he comes in, through our intro conversations. And all of the stuff that we're telling him, well, I don't need her. But you got to understand that it is when we start to gain the understanding that we can be healed, even though we're struggling to be healed and to cope in the absence of words or in the absence of our mother, even to this day. You have to know that you're okay
and that it's really not about you, in order that you don't allow these emotions to get unraveled, because they can. And we can be sensitive in so many ways. My sensitivity came in the fact that if I was around women who would say that they had a great relationship with their mother and their mother was their best friend, I would want to fight. A grown woman in a master's program, when we had these group processes and we started talking about our mother-daughter relationships, and I would hear them say, my mother's my best friend, we do everything together, I get mad all over again, because I never had that. And that's something that I desire. But who do I tell that I desire that when it's not available to me? That's that ambivalence that I have. I wanted a relationship, but I told myself the whole time I didn't need her. And so it is very distressing for us daughters when we grow up in the absence of our mother, and that we don't have their love and support for whatever reason. We grow up thinking that we're not enough. We grow up thinking we don't want to be in relationship with other females, that we can't have good friends because we just can't trust them to be there. The struggle to heal and coping is crazy, guys. It affects us in so many ways. It's not all of us, but in certain parts of about the self, we get lost with the desires that we have to be in relationship with the mother that's just simply not there. Whether it's physically, emotionally, she's just not available to us. So what do we do, daughters? It is when we start to seek wisdom and knowledge and understanding that hope comes. There's a consciousness, which is the first step in an unloving daughter healing for you to heal. You've got to become aware that really it's not all about you. And anything that has happened to you up to this point as a daughter, there's a bigger picture here. We simply accept. When we learn to accept that it's not all about me, and that our mothers too have these struggles in the absence of giving birth to a child and she's not raising them, or we've been estranged for whatever reason, we have to, like you said, last night you felt better because you finally heard your mother's voice. You have to know that it's not about you. The unloved daughter doesn't know that she is unlovable. She thinks she's unlovable. She don't know that she's loved. I didn't know I was loved by my mother, despite the fact I never really had her in my life. Let me tell you how I knew that my mother loved me after all those years. When my mother became critically ill, I went to her, well, 2 years prior to, I had started to form a relationship with her prior to her dying. And my mother had 9 stuffed animals on her bed. And every stuffed animal she had on her bed represented her 9 children. She raised 5 of them, and she didn't raise the first 4 children that she had. And the mere fact that she had those 9 stuffed animals on that bed suggested to me that my mother never stopped loving us despite the fact she never had us. And you got to know, Deborah, that your mother, we've met your mother. Your mother loves you. And you can just see it when you guys are together and how proud she is of you. But when you're going through and you having these ambivalent feelings, that's a love-hate relationship, guys, what that word really means. You got to, like you said, talk yourself out of it and talk yourself into knowing that your mother loves you. Any questions, any comments before we go on? Deborah, you want to bring in any comments?
No, I'm good so far. I'm good.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So
one.
Now we're going to.
I have.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you all? I tell you, I'm sitting there holding a great grandson, and he fell asleep. And I thought, wow, just give me an opportunity. Oh man, to join you. This is so good. It's nothing I can add except just wanted to tell Deborah, I love you. I appreciate you pouring your heart out because someone in this audience is crying with you. I was crying with you. The emotions are so real. But I tell you, I have to tell you what the Holy Spirit told me when you were crying out. I've got to call your mother. I've got to call your mother. Okay?
Yes.
Hello?
I'm here.
I got to call your mother. I got to call your mother. Because there's no way that we are doing mothers and daughters and have one of our daughters disconnected when she's trying so hard to connect. I've offered this several times. The Holy Spirit brought it to me several times. And I kept trying to just be respectful and, you know, hang back because I didn't want to barge in because, you know, you came in and you became a guest and then you became a part of us. But this cannot go on any longer. The reason Cynthia found peace with her mother is because the Holy Spirit told me to ask her, how's your mother and daughter relationship? And challenged her. Well, I didn't think it was a challenge. Cynthia said it was a challenge, but I didn't think it was a challenge at the time. It was that he said, have her go to her mother and get the answer. And when I told Cynthia that, she said, well, I guess she thought I was challenging her. But when she went to get the answer, that's what brought her that peace. And that's why she can live so peaceful today and talk about her mother, even though there's some missing pieces, but she got what she needed at the time to go forward. No one knew her mother was going to die in 2 years. And had she not gotten that, can you imagine how broken she would be trying to help other mothers and daughters? She wouldn't be equipped to do that. And probably God wouldn't allow her to be participate in it. Because we have to be upfront and honest. And you've been crying and holding back for a long time. So if I have to get in my car, I will drive back down there to your mother's house. But I'm going to call your mother this day. I guarantee you, before the end of this day, probably shortly after I get off of this thing, and I'm having a conversation with your mother. It's not her fault. It's not your fault. It's just God wants me to bring y'all together because he knows once you come together, the healing process is going to take place and you all are going to enjoy what God has put in place for you. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. Because what I hear is a little girl, a 13-year-old girl, so you're still in the same place. You have not left mentally. You've left physically. You've left worldly, but you have not left your mental status of where you were in a loving place. You keep going back there because you knew you had a loving place there, and you feel, I messed that up. I messed that up by going out doing what I did. And you just want to get back to that, and you can get back to that. So that's my take on what you all are talking about. I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's just like I had to say something.
Okay.
I mean, I was sitting up here just, you know, and then I'm thinking about the baby that I'm holding. His mother's out there, you know, trying to get connected and not being with your baby. And it's a lot going on, but we have to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to do this. And wow. Audience, you got a
great
show going on today.
The Holy Spirit is so amazing. Yeah, and the Holy Spirit is so amazing because our next point was talking about some kind of intervention. And there you go. The Holy Spirit spoke before I even brought the subject matter up and what needs to take place when we are lack of confidence. There has to be some kind of intervention
if we are to heal from this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do feel unlovable. We do feel unworthy when the person who was supposed to love you is not there for you. And for whatever reason, whether it was her fault or my mother's fault, for whatever reason, because life is not easy.
And
I sat there last night and I
give what they have.
I'm sorry, go ahead. They give what they have.
I'm sorry.
And
they give what they have.
Go ahead, Dr. B.
No, I was just saying, a mother's, you know, sometimes when we look at the mother and we want, and they don't know how to give, they don't know how to tell you they don't know how to give. You know, it's just that pride and you know, just figure, well, you know, we'll just go on and keep going, but not realizing that you can tell your daughter, look, I didn't get it, and I didn't know how to give it, and whatever the reason, just have that honest conversation. It's going to take an honest conversation to get past any hurdle that a mother and daughter may have in their life. Go ahead, Cynthia. I'm sorry about that.
That's quite all right. That's so all right. It is that unloving spirit that a daughter comes to have about not only herself, but about the world in general. That daughter feels ignored. You feel ignored when your mother is not talking to you. And as a result, we start to criticize our mothers. But it's not until we can find the peace in us that we can find that real forgiveness for our mothers. And that's when that intervention comes in, and that's where we get the confidence to rise above our emotions. When we start to feel a certain way, when we don't think things are what it should be. And I wanted to add something to that. It's not until when daughters take stock in their wounds. This is the first step and the first day when her healing starts. You have an awareness, Deborah. And so now this journey is going to take on its own way when Dr. Fletcher get involved, and you are going to have that relationship that you desire with your mom. But you have to rise above emotions when they happen, and you do a great job at it. But you got to have that real conversation, like Dr. Fletcher has said, that honest conversation with yourself and with your mother. And my prayer right now is that both parties, Father God, in the name of Jesus, is open to reconciliation of past hurts, of past avoidance of discussion. Because it's not easy to have a discussion when you don't know how. You fear what's going to come out of your mouth. You feel what the other person is going to hear. You fear what the other person feel when they don't feel worthy. And you're criticizing your mother, but she has done the best she can. It's not an excuse, because you were given to her. But she's human too. And we have to have mercy. Just like we want them to love us, we have to love them past their errors and mistakes. It wasn't until I went and got the story from my mother that I was able to find real forgiveness for my mother. No matter what people said, no matter how it looked, it wasn't until I went to talk to her that my healing started, and that I was no longer angry over the fact that she was not there for me. It's the beginning. Today, Deborah, it's that awareness that you have, that your healing has started. It doesn't end here, no. This is only the beginning. And because you have a willingness and a desire to have that relationship with your mother, that I believe the Holy Spirit is going to touch her heart, and that she's going to be open to have that discussion that you guys need. Wounds don't you know, they don't close up and people say time makes a difference. No, time don't make a difference. Honest discussion and forgiveness is what makes the difference. Any comments, Deborah, before we go on?
I just want to say that, you know, I really appreciate you and Dr. Bessie, and that, you know, I'm willing to do what's necessary to move forward in this relationship. And you know, like I say, I could be really making a mountain out of a mole, and it could be just me feeling like that because I haven't got any attention because you're not responding and because I'm calling and I'm like, okay, you don't want to talk. And, you know, of course, I'm thinking about, you know, you probably want to avoid thinking I'm going to have a conversation with her about not wanting to do the interview. And I that's the farthest thing from my mind as far as mentioning, because you're entitled to say no, you're entitled to say yes, or whatever you say, it's done and over. You missed it, you didn't want to do it, that's water under the bridge. But it's just about the other, you know, responding to just me. I'm reaching out, I'm calling, I'm texting, and, you know, I'm okay, so, you know, so I just got to, you know, like you say, you know, trust the process and be willing to just to look at it from a different set of lenses, you know?
What I wanted to say to you, Deborah, don't beat yourself up. Those are normal feelings. I would feel the same way. If I'm texting and calling my daughter and she doesn't respond, and your mother would feel the same way. If she's texting and calling you and texting and calling you and you don't respond, the physical body, the flesh, will respond in a certain way. It's hard to just rise above that and say, well, maybe I'm making a mole hill out of a, or making a, whatever they call it, making a mountain out of a grain of sand, whatever cliche that you might want to use. But the point is, you have a right to feel that way. And I tell mothers, you know, the same thing that we expect from our daughters, we have to give. If you want love, you got to give love. You want a hug, give a hug. You want a kiss, give a kiss. Whatever you want, you give, it comes back to you. So, no, don't beat yourself up for that, because that's your mother. And you reaching out to her, she should have responded back to you out of due respect. So the message was, I don't know, but the message was she did not respond. There was a message there. Not unless she didn't get it. If she didn't get it, that's one thing. And you haven't had a chance to ask her, did you get all those messages? Did you get the phone calls? Did you get the text? Well, then, you know, why didn't you respond? Because as a Christian woman, we all know we got the right to say no. We ain't accountable to nobody but God. That's it, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So the show shouldn't have been that. And, you know, I could have felt some kind of way and said, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't have asked, because I would definitely not want to cause any controversy between you and your mother. Simply because I knew I was getting your story, and knowing that you gave her the greatest gift out of all, and that was the gift of salvation. Because if it was that pressing on her that she received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, it don't matter how you get it. God said to, you know, bring them into the kingdom. Some people come by hook and crook. So if that's how she got there, then she can look at you and say, you know what, baby? You gave me the greatest gift. You gave me Jesus Christ. You led me to Jesus because I had nowhere else to go. That's a gift that nobody else can give her. That's a gift that nobody can exceed that. That's the greatest gift, everlasting life. So now that's the way she should look at it, and I'm explain that to her. And that's the way you should look at it. God comes in mysterious ways. He ain't coming the way that we think he's going to come. Some people on their deathbed with stage 4 cancer. that's the way they get them in. It's always something traumatic, something tragic that brings us to the foot of Christ. So she should be thanking you. Thank you, baby. We went through, but look at this. You brought me to the foot of Christ. I'm saved. I have life everlasting. What a gift.
Well,
thank you, Father.
That's pretty much saying it all. And if you don't allow yourself to feel, even though you rise above it, you, as Dr. Fletcher said, you have to allow yourself to trust your feelings. And you can't make a mountain out of a molehill, because that's your mountain. And you can't do anything with that mountain until you deal with it. And it's going to stay big until there's an intervention, like Dr. Fletcher said, and you come to gain the understanding. Because it's real. Your mountain is real to you, and you don't have to downsize it for anybody until you're ready to accept it. You know, it's a type of distortion when you don't allow yourself to feel too. You're no better off if you become an aborter, and that's what will happen if you start to abort all of your emotions. You become an aborter, and you don't know how to be sensitive. You'll be either oversensitive or cold. You become very cold when you try to abort feeling, and you don't want that either, because then that plays a role in all the rest of your relationships. I know that's what happened to me in the first 9 years of my children's life. I was so cold. I was tough with my children because I didn't know how to be sensitive. And then you become oversensitive and overprotective. And that doesn't make for a good mother either. It's all about balance. And so you allow yourself to feel it. Yeah, you have to rise above it so you can continue to do what you do in this thing called life. But when you have those moments, just allow yourself to feel it so you can be done with it in that moment. But don't ever try to avoid your feelings, because you'll become cold, like I was for the first 9 years of raising my children. Do I regret it? No. Because that's where I was at that time. Do I have resentments of how I treated my children? No. Because I've become such a great mother as a result of how bad I was. And I'm going to leave you guys with this. My son, who's 28 right now, this is the card he gave me for Mother's Day. He said, because of you, Mom, I know what love is. It's patience, it's sacrifice, it's sharing joy and keeping faith. And it's what makes us strong and helps us find our way. Because of you, Mom, I know what family is. It's laughing, it's learning, it's being real and being friends. And it will always be there, no matter what. Because of you, Mom, I know what's the heart of a good life, love and family, those things that are true and lasting. They make a difference. I know that because of you, Mom. I was a horrible mom the first 9 years, but I've turned it around because of an intervention. If I had never had that intervention, I would have stayed angry and I would have taken it out on my children for the rest of their lives. You don't want to abort your feelings. So no, you're not making a mountain out of a molehill. When you're feeling it, it's real. And that's your mountain. And it's okay. Comments, questions?
No comment.
No comment? Okay. Dr. B, you want to say anything?
Wow. I'm just sitting here processing. I was like, wow, you know, you get up in the morning and you pour out, you pour out, you pour out. And today I said, well, I'm just going to sit back and be taught. And really, I got to know the both of you from a deeper level. You know, you're with people all the time, and we work together and we do things together. But today, I felt the heart of both of you in a different place. And I just know God wanted that to be, because he wanted me to be still. He wanted me to listen. You know, sometimes I was thinking, my daughter called this morning and she said, how are you going to do the radio show? I said, well, Deborah and Cynthia is going to do it this morning. I said, and I'm going to listen. I said, because I don't want Connor to, you know, interrupt too much. You know, we as children, we don't want to close them, shut them down, but we still got to respect them for different places and times. And so I prayed and I said, well, Lord, let him be calm. And he was very calm. As I got the first part out, I was like, well, okay, Lord. And now he's in there taking a nap, because the Lord, because I said I would like him to take his nap so I could at least participate. But I'm saying all that to say this. Even though, you know, Connor was here for the weekend, God knew this was going to be, and he knew that you all had to do this show. You see what I'm saying? Everything is designed the way it was supposed to be. That's why I didn't stress out about the show, because I knew you all would do it. And then my spirit is like, well, just let Cynthia and Deb do the show. Not knowing that the heart that you all was going to pour your hearts out like that. I mean, really, I don't even know what to say. It's so heart touching. I'm just honored to know you ladies. I'm honored to be a part of you all's life, and you all are part of mine, and knowing that we are real. And you know, I always say I like people that's honest, with integrity, you know, ain't fronting, ain't trying to be this, that, and the other. Just be who you are and know that we all are not perfect people. I'm not a perfect person. Sometimes I will say, Lord, why did you choose me? You know, I'm dealing with you every day with my struggles. But that's the way life is. If you had a perfect day, you'd be standing in front of Jesus. Just know that. Other than that, you've got trials and tribulations, and every day you're going to be confronted with something to test your faith, to see if you're going to hold on to your faith and see if you're going to hold on to believe God is still with you and that you're still on the journey that he calls you to be on. So this mother and daughter transition that you're going through, Deborah, just know when God sent you to be a part of this program, this whole thing is because you were assigned to work with mothers and daughters to add to their life, and this is a part of your training. This is a part of your graduation. You're going to school to graduate, to get a degree for life. But God has got you assigned to Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. And not only to heal you and your mother, but to heal, help share your story of you and your mother and your transition as you go around speaking to help other people. Because they got to know that even though I was 13, and I separated from my mom, and I went all the way to the left that I could go, to the far, all the way down to Key West. There ain't nowhere else I could go except jump the river and go to Cuba. When they know that you've done all of that, but you found your way back across that 7-mile bridge, back onto land, and I'm still walking. See, this is your journey. We all got that journey. So just know, don't feel sad. Feel glad, because God is training you. He's molding you. He's shaping you. And this is a part of the process. This is the ingredients. This is another ingredient that you got this morning. That's the way I look at my life. Every day, God is molding me, shaping me, and he adds in another little sprinkle of something, and he keeps shaping me until I shape up to who he wants me to be and be so Christ-like that I look up one day and I'm standing before Christ. This is your journey. Mothers and daughters, Faith Trust Ministry.
Amen.
He couldn't do
Yeah, we couldn't do it without you, Deborah. You have a key element that's a part of us. And we don't find that often. And when we find them, if they're right, they drop by the wayside. I've never felt that you was not right. I always felt from the moment I heard you spoke and getting your award on the Butterfly Award, I told Cynthia then, I said, we got to have her on. That story, I knew God had connected us from that moment to this. I've been trying to get you to be a part of this, and finally you came, and here we are.
Amen.
And it's just the beginning. All right?
Amen.
We can't heal.
All right.
We can't heal without you know, going through the journey. We have to, and all we're doing is sharing our stories. That's all you can do is share your testimony, and then God will do the rest. So we're proud of you, Deborah. We love you. Y'all have done an excellent job. This is one good show. I put this up there at the top 10.
Oh, wow. Praise
we appreciate you, girl.
Yeah, it's a good show. Good show. Y'all gonna mess around. I'm gonna have y'all working more often. All righty.
Don't do it to us now.
Thanks for the warning.
This is a stressful boo. Trying to prepare. So, no, we'll let you keep it. We'll just keep coming in when you can't do it. How about that? But you know, we're always willing, Dr. Fletcher. I'm kidding about that. You know, we're always willing.
Yeah.
And we do it together because God has called and put us together. And so it's our pleasure. It's my pleasure. So I just want to say, Deborah, I love you. We have so many commonalities, you know. World of difference, but we have so many commonalities, and I just love you as my sister. And I look at those sisters last night on the show, and you know what? You're my sister, man. And with daughters that we rose above it, and that forgiveness piece is it. We got to forgive.
All right, all right. That's our times, ladies. Hold on.
All right, that went real quick.
It did. Let me get to the switchboard. I'll be right back.
Okay.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, ladies, what a wonderful show. I know this. We get ready to send it out to Facebook and let them hear it. It's going to be the show for them to hear. God bless you, and you all have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, you too. Blessing. Love you guys. Bye-bye, audience.
Bye-bye, audience. Thank you.
Bye-bye.